Blog Talk Radio.
Once again to the PRF table, I'm your host, Brother Dunlap. Also sitting here hosting this show with me is Mary Ann Barnett, and we just want to say welcome. Thank you for taking the time, as I say every week, out of your busy schedule to just fellowship with us. You're listening to the PRF table, and we have a show for you tonight. What we're going to be talking about tonight is a continuation of last week's show. Last week we were talking about holiday credit and debt, and we really had a lot of good information, a lot of good insight. A lot of you who actually joined into the conversation to make it as fruitful as it was. So we felt it that it was not over last week, Mama. We felt that there were some things that we really need to focus on, because the reality is this. The reality is today is Thursday, December 18th, 2014, and next week on Thursday is December 25th. And if we really think about it, by this same time next week, gifts would have been opened. By this time next week, the stores are going to be closed. By this time next week, the money has already been spent. By this time next week, the credit card interest has already started calculating. By this time next week, credit card statements are already in the mail. By this time next week, people already are going to be on their way to debt. By this time next week, individuals are getting ready to get hit with charges that they were not expecting. By this time next week, what do? We talk about it now. One of the things that I think that was so important from last week's show was the fact that one of our table participants last week said, it's not over. It may have been me, I don't remember. But it's not over. I say it's not over based upon whoever made that statement last week, Mama.
Yes.
Because today is only December the 18th.
Right.
But once all of the charges get put on the credit cards, once the lady with the pretty face that's standing at the front of the department store who says, if you open up a credit card today, you can get 25 or 30% at the register. We have to be smart.
Yeah.
There's a passage of scripture, and I'll let you just jump in with your comments, Mama, after this. But there's a passage of scripture that says this. The enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy.
Mm-hmm.
We must not be ignorant to think that that has nothing to do with our PRF profile, our possessions, resources, and finances profile. We must not be ignorant to believe that that has nothing to do with destroying what our credit ratings look like.
Right.
We must not be ignorant to believe that the enemy does not want to destroy any and all of us on the inside if we get into a negative financial situation by doing things that are not going to be fruitful in the future.
Right.
So I'm excited about what we're going to talk about tonight. And tonight, I think, is just going to be a free-for-all because next week is December 25th. Next Friday is going to be the 26th. And for every gift that has been opened, for every card that has been charged, for every gift card that has been purchased, for everything that is going on and has gone on since we've been trying to deal with this in our own way since before Black Friday. The reality is, right after that, the reality is going to hit. And we say this in the vein of, it's not just about individuals going out there and not spending money. It's not about individuals going out there and not buying gifts for their children, grandchildren, significant others, loved ones, whoever it is. It's about making a wise decision. I say it like this. Well, I'm gonna hold off. Mama, bless us. Give us something. Give us what's on your heart. I'm gonna be quiet for a minute before I just go for tonight.
Okay. Well, since I've been listening to the show, and before I start listening to the show and getting knowledge of different subjects here, I was just thinking about how you are giving us wisdom, or you're sharing with us the knowledge that you have about, you know, about holiday credit and debt. And as I apply it to myself, you are just giving us, I believe, listeners, wisdom in spending wisely. And as for myself, I can surely feel very comfortable that I'm glad I did not do that. I'm glad that I did honor my word. If you're new listeners, I had said that I had made arrangements with my creditors before December, and that I had said that this month I was going to take care of those bills. And I'm so glad that I had this show the words that were spoken to encourage me to you know, get my priorities in order.
Yeah.
I beg your pardon. To get my priorities in order, and be a good steward over my money and keep my word, you know, so that I can have a good reputation with my creditors. And I'm so glad that I did that because I feel comfortable now. I don't have to wonder how I'm going to pay. How I'm going to pay my bills because I've used money that I didn't have that belonged to the creditors. So it's nothing like having knowledge. And once we have the knowledge, you know, the words tell in Proverbs say have knowledge, then wisdom, and above all get understanding. So, you know, I had the knowledge and I knew how to apply it, but I need to have some really a clear understanding of really what was happening with me with that mindset that I had, you know. So for that, you know, I'm very thankful, you know. Yes, I feel very comfortable now. The bills will come in as regular, but it won't be me, you know, trying to pay how I'm going to do because I done spent $600 for Christmas, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm already behind in bills, you know. So I just have to deal with what I have to deal with. So I'm thankful, you know, for everyone that, you know, was participating, you know, in this segment of the show. I'm just so thankful, you know, for the understanding that I got.
Amen, amen. And just to, let me do this. Let me just recap for maybe about 3 or 4 minutes from last week's show, because last week, a couple of things that we talked about was balance to limit ratios. I may have posed a question, and it may not have come out like this, but you know, do you know what your balance to limit ratio is? How can you find out? You know, I pose those questions because as we're in this holiday season, I expressed to everyone last week that this was not just about the holidays. Excuse me. This was just not about the holidays. This just happened to be a time that we're talking about this because we've talked about debt and credit at other times outside of the holidays. This is just what God has placed on our hearts to deal with in this season. And for those who were not on the show last week or has not listened to the show last week, you know, your balance to limit ratio works like this. If you owe $300 on a $1,000 credit card, that's 30% of what your limit is. And so from the information that I was able to research, you don't want to go above 30% balance to limit ratios on your credit cards and on your credit loans. It doesn't look favorably when creditors are looking at you for additional credit. Well, you may say, I ain't applying for nothing anyway. I don't want anything anymore. But the reality is, what about when you do? See, if you're sitting there with a balance to limit ratio of you have a $1,000 limit on that card, charge card, credit card, department store card, gas card, whatever it is, you got a $1,000 limit, but you owe $900. The reality is now you're at 90%. Doesn't look good. And it's not as easy for that to not be affected on your credit as it is in a negative way versus a positive way. So what I mean is this. If right now I only owe $100 on my credit card and I have a $1,000 limit, I have a 10% balance to limit ratio. That's really good. That's way above what is advised that we should have, because the max is we shouldn't be going over 30%. But if I go up to 90%, that affects my credit score. How soon am I going to get that 90% back down to 10%? The reality is most people don't pay their credit cards off in full at the end of the month. That's fact. So let's say something comes up and I need to apply for credit. Or let's say I go and apply for a job that must check my credit report. Well, they're going to look at my balance to limit ratios. I can tell you what I'm telling you what I know for a fact working with the government. They're going to look at, or we're going to look at your balance to limit ratios and question you, well, why are your limits so high? Are you able to pay your bills? And one of the things that I brought out with that from last week, which I'll bring it out again, is I don't want everybody just to look at that one credit card that has the big balance. I want you to look at all of them. Take all of your credit, all your charge cards, all your credit cards, all your department store cards, all of your gas cards. Take all of those things and add up all of the limits and then add up all of the balances and get your balance limit ratio on your individual credit accounts as well as your collective. Because, see, we don't want anybody to be ignorant, right? So you may be looking good with one credit card that's only at 10%. But the devil will want you to be boastful. The devil will want you thinking that you're doing something good, because if you have another credit card that is out there with 90% that you're not looking at, that you're not paying attention to, well, in all actuality, your balance to limit ratio now may be at 60% with both of those cards. Just something to think about. And we also talked about checking your credit scores. And I said credit scores, but I also was talking about credit reports. Have you taken a look at yours this year? You know, how many credit cards do you have? How many credit scores do you actually have? And the last thing that we talked about was, you know, what are your options for consolidating balances? Look, if you want to go out there and you want to buy something on credit, no problem. But if you doggone know that you have a 22% interest rate on that credit card, and you don't have a plan, watch this, you don't have a plan on paying it off, and you know you can't pay it off at the end of the month because the end of the month is December 31st.
Yes.
So why not utilize an option of consolidating the balance, especially if you already have more than one credit card? So, for example, I have two credit cards. If I had two credit cards and one of them has a higher balance than the other, and I get these checks in the mail to say, consolidate your write this check out that we're giving you from another creditor, and you will get 0% interest. You have to be careful and make sure that, is it a 6-month deal that you're getting? Is it 12 months? Is it 24 months? And that helps out. That may provide you a little bit of cushion on that higher interest rate credit card. But you got to understand, when that 6 months is up, and that's why I mentioned 6, 12, and 24 months, because some of them may be just 6. Next thing you know, you're not paying your bills like you want to. You're not paying off the other credit card like you expected to. And when after those 6 months, there's an interest rate that you've already accepted 6 months prior, that's going to be higher than what it normally is in any instance of the imagination. That's why they're able to give you that zero. So let it be for your benefit and pay that balance off during those 6 months. But you got to have a plan. So what we've been talking about, Mama, is having a plan. having a plan.
Yes.
One of the things that I asked last week, and I apologize, if anybody's listening and want to join into the conversation, if you're listening by phone, press 1. The number is 914-338-1692, 914-338-1692, if you happen to be listening to us online and you want to join in. I asked everybody last week, do this for me. Check your credit reports. Check your credit reports. And let's talk about it this week. And the reason that I did that was because I realized that if you are willing to check your credit reports, then that means that you're saying something not only to yourself, but you're saying something to God as well. That my credit is important to me. The reality is, whatever credit that we have, somebody has given it to us. So that falls in line with stewardship. So now that has a psychological effect where it's now having us to deal with something from a stewardship perspective when we don't even realize it. So I don't know how many of y'all actually did it, but one of the things I know about leadership is this. If we're not willing to do the same things that we're telling you to do, then we're not leading by example. And so one of the things that I did, I took some time out of my schedule earlier this week, because I wanted to be a good example. I wanted to be a good leader in this effort. And I did what I asked everybody to do. The reality is this. If you didn't do it, there's still time. But I want to talk about some of the things that I was able to discover. And if anybody has any questions or comments and wants to join in, please just do so. But one of the things that I did was this. And I want to run it through. And this would be the same thing that I would do if I had you in one of the PRF classes. I went to annualcreditreport.com. The reason I like annualcreditreport.com because they've been around for years, so they're not one of these companies that has just, if you will, just popped up where you have to worry about some of the validity. When annualcreditreport.com came out, this was one of the website that was, quote-unquote, sanctioned by all three of the credit bureaus, TransUnion, Equifax, and Experian. So that says something. If all three of them are, quote-unquote, sanctioning this particular website, when you go to annualcreditreport.com, you get to check all three of your credit reports. Well, you may ask, what's so special about that? There's plenty of sites that can do that. You're right. If you have one that you've experienced that works for you, fine. Let's talk about it. Bring it up. Tell us about your experience. But one of the things that I know is out of the hundreds, over 100,000 students that came through my course, the Army Personal Financial Management course, when I was leading that course, this is the one that we gave them as well. So now you have a government agency that's also validating the importance and the validity of it. So I went through, and here was my experience. The first one on the list is always TransUnion. And every time for the last 5, 6, 7 years, however long I've been using this one site, I've never been able to go online except for one time to obtain my TransUnion credit report online. Never. So what happens is if you run into an encounter where you're not able to get through on the website for whatever reason, then there's always the number. So here's what I did. I tried TransUnion. That was the first one on the list. It didn't work. Whenever you go into the site, it's always going to ask you to validate who you are. So it wants to know that you are the person that's there, because anybody can have your social security number, right? Anybody can have your name, anybody can have your date of birth. But there's questions that's going to be asked to you. The questions are such things such as this. Did you open, our records indicate that you may have opened a auto loan sometime in April 2013. Which one of the companies did you utilize? It's going to say Nissan, Ford, Chrysler, Chevrolet, none of the above. If you know that you did not open up a credit account with Nissan or a credit account in April 2013, you select none of the above. So now you've answered the question correctly. I know I answered the questions correctly on TransUnion, but like I said, it never works for me. So then it says, well, here's your other option. So I say that so individuals don't get discouraged saying, okay, it's not working for me. The option is request your credit report by telephone. The great thing about using annualcreditreport.com is you can request all three credit reports to be mailed to you by calling one number. I know a lot of people may not know that, Mama.
Mm-hmm.
The difference is this. TransUnion has their own number. Experian does, as well as Equifax. So you can call the 1-800 number for Equifax, then go through their motions, hang up, call TransUnion. But why do that when you can call one number? That's why I like it, because it's all connected to everything. So since I knew I had to request my credit report from TransUnion by mail, I went on and requested the other two by mail. The thing that I like about it is I'm just a paper, pen and paper type of guy. So I like to be able to get something on paper, because when you go into the website and you pull everything, one, you can print everything out and use up your ink. That's one option, but you can't save it. So for me, if anything does not work out like I want it to work out, or if I dispute something, I want to make sure that I got a hard copy in my hand, so in case things pop back up on our credit report, because that has happened to me on several occasions in the past. I disputed something. They couldn't prove that it was mine. They took it off of my credit report, and then here come 2 years later, these jokers done put it back on there again. So now I had that hard copy because I can't go back online and do anything, because what I got from online was only for that time period. See, it only allows you to have access to what's online for 30 days. It asks you that question, and if you want to, then you can get it, have access to it for 30 days. So the first thing I did was I checked Equifax. I got through, answered the questions, and I checked Equifax. One of the things that I advise everybody to do is going to give you a transaction code. Write that transaction code number down, because that shows, and that's your proof that you actually checked your credit report. You create a little account, give a password and an account name, so to speak, and you keep that so that you can go back into it during that 30 days. One of the things that Equifax actually asked me this time was it gave me the option to opt out. It said choose the option to opt out. What that does is it prevents a whole bunch of sharing of your information, but it also reduces junk mail coming to your residence, and it also reduces spam, junk mail in the form of spam coming from different creditors that are trying to sell you things. Why is that important, Mama? If you're an individual that gets caught up in impulse buying, you probably want to opt out.
Yeah.
You laughing, Mama. I'm being serious. If you know that if something comes to your house that says you can get 30% off of this, and you know before you even brush your teeth in the morning, you're going to wake up and go to the store, and you're going to utilize that sale knowing that you really didn't need it, you probably want to opt out. The other thing is it also helps you and I in the event of identity theft. The more things that we have coming to our addresses, the more likely we're given an opportunity for somebody to take things or to, I say take things, but let me give it to you like this. I remember one time I was working a case. Somebody took a credit card that came in the mail from out of a post office and used it and ran up $10,000 worth of charges. The same thing, if that type of thing could happen through the postal service, through an actual mailroom, then for those of us who live in rural areas that have mailboxes on the side of the curb, and most of us are not home during the day when the mailman or the mail lady actually runs, then the reality is this. It may be too late when you find out that somebody has come and got that credit card application that was sent to you, not because you asked for it, but because you chose not to opt out and allow all of these different type of advertisements to come to you through the mail. Interesting information, but it's just something to put out there. Another thing that I liked about the Equifax website was, or annualcreditreport.com, but the Equifax piece, was it gave an average credit score for my area. So now what that does is it gives me an option and an incentive to want to find out what my credit score is. Think about it. In my area, the average credit score in my area is a 685. I'm telling people, look, you really want to be over 700 since they've changed how they score the credit reports. So 685 is not really good. It's okay, but it's not good and it's not great. So if I checked my credit score, and if I saw that my credit score was actually less than a 685, then that lets me know that I need to do something to improve my credit score.
Mm-hmm.
The reality is, depending on what I've done to have a credit score of less than 685, I may not be able to do anything right now, but I may be able to put some things in place to get it better. Does that make sense?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
The other thing about the credit scores is this. When you go on to annualcreditreport.com or you go to Equifax or TransUnion, any of those individual credit reporting agency websites, it's going to ask you, do you want to purchase your credit score? So for Equifax, it was 795. This is something separate and apart from Equifax. The score is not provided by Equifax. It is provided by an outside company that is connected with Equifax. Here's what I tell people. You have to understand that the credit score and the credit report are two separate and different things. The first thing that you don't want to do, and listen to me, I don't care if it's free, the first thing that you don't want to do is go and request your credit score. Because if you check your credit score before you check your credit report, if there's things on your credit report that don't need to be on there and you've paid this money for a credit score, you want to check your credit score after those things get taken care of. So let's say there was three accounts on your credit report that was not supposed to be there. Or let's say there was two credit card accounts that was on, or two credit accounts that's on your credit report that 7 years has elapsed and they should come off because they were negative debts. Well, once I get those taken off, I want to know what my credit score is after that. For some people, checking it 795 at the front end and 795 at the back end is not anything to some people. So if you have the ability and the means to do that and you want to do that, fine. But if you're limited on funds, I would advise you may want to hold off. Now, on the flip side, the other thing is the benefit to doing it before as well as after is you get to see if there's something on there that doesn't need to be on your credit report or that can come off. You get to see how much of a difference it is. So let's say there's one credit, there's one account on your credit report that 7 years and 2 months ago, you forgot to pay something. And now you got that one day or that one time 30 days late on the credit report. Well, now here it is set over 7 years now, and you want to get that taken off. So if you had your credit score beforehand and your credit score says 685 and you get it taken off, that negative item taken off of your credit report, whatever your credit report and score is afterwards, you can see how much of a jump it is. So now you're able to tell somebody, my credit report only went up 5 points as I took this one negative debt off of my credit report. I think that works to some of our benefits because now we're able to see some of the things that we do. We really don't have a good handle on how this whole thing of credit works when it comes to our credit reports, because a lot of times you'll see a lot of information that'll say 30% is for installment loans, 20% is for revolving debt. But how that actual formula actually works, it's like those basements inside of the Pentagon. If you ain't got access to it, you're not going to find out where they are. And they're going to deny that they even exist in most cases. Mama, did you have anything based on what we've been talking about so far?
Yes, I did mine before you asked. And it was just so, I hadn't done it in maybe about, I could say a good 7 years. Mm. And when I went on before, it was a lot of stuff on there, and there were some things on it that I knew shouldn't have been on there, but I was going through and I just really didn't pay too much attention. So this time when I went on there, I saw that all of that had gone, and when I checked all three, they had everything was even and everything was what was on it was supposed to be on it, and I really thought about it. I said, you know something. Mm-hmm. Anybody, I'm talking about the period that I didn't check, could have added
right.
anything they wanted, and I would not have had a clue.
That's right.
I would not have had a clue. So that was a good wake-up call for me, Yeah.
And And you know, one of the other benefits, and I guess I'll share it now. Here's one thing about how identity theft works. Identity theft is one of the fastest growing crimes in America. I used to teach on that as well. And it causes so much damage that it takes so much energy away from people. I'm talking about it is actually worse than some of the physical crimes that people actually experience. Because people have to take off of work. People have to go to court. People have to make all this contact with their creditors. People have to deal with the law enforcement agencies. And a lot of times, a lot of these people don't get caught. Or they may not get caught, indicted, and charged. Don't let me get started on indictments. But indicted and charged for a long period of time. That's one part of the system. But at the end of the day, the person who's experiencing the theft that has been taken from them, they're still dealing with the fallout from this situation.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things that these thieves, these criminals do is this, and this is why it's so important to check, and this goes in line with what you were talking about, that in-between time. These individuals are smart. They're not dumb when they do this. One of their tactics is to open up accounts in people's names. Not max them out and not pay them off, but they actually pay them. You know why they pay them off? So that it doesn't alert anything. See, here's the thing. If I open up an account, if I take your identity and caller 2023, I'm coming to you next. If I take your credit, your information, and I open up an account in your name,
mm-hmm.
if I open up and they give me a $1,000 limit and I use $999 of that limit, and
yeah.
then I just don't do anything, guess what's going to happen? The people are going to contact you. So now you're going to have the alert. But if I use the $900 and I pay that $900 off, you're not getting informed about it because it's not delinquent.
Right.
And in the meantime, you're not the only person I'm doing this to. People who steal people's identity don't do it just to one person. I'm doing it to other folks. And so the money that I'm pulling off of the other person's account, I'm taking some of that cash, so I may get $2,000 from this other person's account. I may take $900 and put that $900 and pay that bill off on yours. So now what I'm doing, I'm floating my payments so I can continue to use it. It's crafty. It happens. It's damaging the people. And we just have to be willing to talk about it. So call it 2023. Welcome to the PRF table, Shatara.
Thank you. How are you guys?
Good evening. Fine, thank you.
I just wanted to, I actually have a cousin and a friend who've been through identity theft, so I wanted to, you know, emphasize how much of a headache it is. One of them was in the military, and my cousin recently went to open an account at a bank and found out that she already had an account at the bank.
Wow.
Only she didn't have an account at the bank. So
wow.
Somebody had stolen her information and opened up an account in the bank.
Mm.
And she did have to go through a lot of hassle. As a matter of fact, she's still going through it because she had to go to the police and file
mm-hmm.
a report and prove to the bank that she was who she was.
That's right.
And it wasn't enough for her to have a Social Security card and, you know, ID. That wasn't enough. So she was like, well, what else do you need from me? And basically the bank was like, ma'am, I'm sorry. There's nothing we can do. You have to go to the police at this point. So she went to the police, and actually she's still going to the police. So you said she has to miss a lot of work, and she is missing a lot of work because she has to go run back and forth to the detectives so they can try to trace back when the account
mm-hmm.
was opened and, you know, how her identity was stolen and all of this. But what she's going to get to is what my other friend who was in the military had to do, and she has to get a new Social Security number and go to the
mm-hmm.
Bureau of Vital Statistics and, you know, have a certified copy of her birth certificate. She has to get a new social and go through all of that stuff again like she never existed. But only
mm-hmm.
she has a car and a house and all of this stuff that's in her name with her current social. so when she gets a new social, she has to go to each of those people, show them a letter from the police that verify that she had her identity stolen, get all of that stuff converted over to the new social. So, I mean, she called me many a night crying because it was so frustrating for her. So it really is devastating when you have your identity stolen. So on top of, you know, paying attention to your credit report and being careful on what you spend, you need to guard your information too. It's very important to monitor your credit report. And in Georgia, I know you can, and I don't know if it's free for everybody now, but I know in Georgia you can get a free credit report every year.
I believe actually you can get two free in the state of Georgia.
Twice a year, that's right. It is twice. But the recommendation is that you check it at least once a year. So if you can get two free a year, there's no reason that at least the people in the state of Georgia are not getting at least one, checking the credit report annually, because it is very important. And you said that they, you know, things pop up on there that are not legit. And then when you dispute it and it comes off and it pops back on, but if you don't ever look at that and then you go buy a house and you have all of this stuff that you can't verify or dispute or you haven't disputed, then, of course, that's going to come into play as to whether they're going to give you a particular amount. So it's very important
to monitor.
I just wanted to just give some insight to, you know, the stress of dealing with identity theft and having to get a new identity, essentially. And they never caught the person who stole my friend in the military's identity. So, you know, she doesn't know to this day who did it.
And I think And I think that's one of the most important points that you brought out is oftentimes the people who do this never get caught. Just like I mentioned, they're not dumb people. They're not dumb criminals. It's a very intelligent scheme, and you got to be very bold to do it, and you got to stay on the run. This is not somebody that's really doing something like this next door to you and doing it to your next door, to their next door neighbor. They're doing this to somebody who's states away. And so now you're dealing with something that's going across state lines, which now involves other folks in law enforcement, not just your local police department. So when
and
they so, never
and
catch
to
them,
that effect, to that effect, it's important, like when you do get those credit card applications in the mail, don't just throw it in the trash. You need to shred
that's right.
it. You can't just toss it or leave it on the counter in the post office or throw it, you know, just put it in trash. You can't do that. You absolutely have to shred it. So
Good point. You know, and we all should have, I have a bin in my office that when I get those things, I put it in there because I know if you put it in trash, there's a term that we use. It's called dumpster diving. And there's individuals that will go through your trash when you are not at home. They will go through your trash, and they will find applications. And see, so now you've thrown it away thinking that it's over and done with, but somebody's got that application. All they got to do is fill it out. Very, very important. I'm glad you brought that up. So what about the person who doesn't have the ability to shred something? Okay.
Oh, you have the ability. You may not have the ability to electronically shred it. You have two hands, and you just rip it. You can't see a word anymore.
and that's what I was talking, trying to get to. If you don't have, you know, everybody doesn't have a shredder in their house, you know, but if you work somewhere that you can use a shredder and shred that information, shred it. Tear it up in very small pieces. You have to be willing to do the work in order to protect yourself because nobody's going to do it for you.
And not
nobody's
that,
going to do it for
I found that a lot of banks, they do a shred day in Georgia. They, at least the ones that I bank with in Georgia, they do a shred day. So where you can come in and just shred all your documents. So if you're, you know, you don't want to rip them by hand and you can speak to your bank and find out if they have a shred day or if they'll allow you to use a shredder because they understand the implications of identity theft. So
mm-hmm.
a lot of times they will let you. I know, like I said, I know they actually have scheduled ones, and they advertise it for those the banks that I use in Georgia. So
wow. I've learned something new today. I never knew that. And think about it. I never knew it because I have the ability to have all my our documents and these things shredded. So it's not one of those things as of importance to me of having to try to find someplace, but you put it out there, so now there's no excuse. Contact your bank and see if they have a shred day because there's no more an excuse. So I'm glad that you brought that up.
Oh, I have a question.
Go ahead, ma'am.
Do you know they have things out where they call identity theft protection insurance. Do you know anything about that?
I don't, because my bank does that for me. They actually monitor. I don't know about those private companies.
Okay.
Right.
Because the banks themselves have a watch company that they use. So.
Okay. Now, do you pay for that?
No, it's free.
Okay. Okay. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. And to add to that, and I'm not familiar with the different companies, and I'm also skeptical about those as well. But for those who become victims of identity theft, the credit reporting agencies, one thing that is important is the person has to contact the credit bureaus. They have to do that and say that I am a victim of identity theft. And then they'll be able to have and make sure you also have the police report or the information from the bank that shows that that person has been a victim of identity theft. And then they'll put a block on their particular individual credit reports. So therefore, if somebody tries to open up another account, now they have an alert, which is only going to do justice to serve with that law enforcement entity or that bank that's trying to help catch these yahoos that got somebody messed up in this situation in the first place. So that's an important thing. The person has to contact their credit reporting agencies, and then they'll get protection at least for a year. And in addition to contacting the credit reporting agencies, making sure that they contact all of their creditors as well. So we're just in this place of talking about identity theft, but this is definitely dealing with holiday credit and debt.
Mm-hmm.
Don't you know that there's individuals that know that people are going to open up a lot of credit cards during this time of the year?
Mm-hmm.
They know it. So you can expect this to be something that is going to hit some individuals, but it's not going to hit right now. It's not going to hit December 25th. This is something that when it hits, it usually doesn't come to light for a month or 2 months or sometime even longer than that. But if you check in your credit report and doing what we ask you to do for your benefit, not necessarily for ours, then I think you have a lot more opportunity for success in this area.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things that is very important to make sure that you check on your credit report is your personal information. So, for example, making sure that your name is spelled correctly. If you're a junior, like I am, making sure that junior is on there. There's a lot of Nathaniel Dunlaps out there in the world, or a few of them at least. But the difference between the junior on my name versus it not being there could be something that can make the process a whole lot more complicated if somebody was to try to steal my identity and then I had to try to prove that I am the junior and I'm not the senior, right? My pop is dead. So I don't want to get caught up in anything with somebody, you know, people steal identities of dead folk as well. It's a shame, but they do it. So can you imagine not having the distinction on there and having to go through that? Because I'm a junior or I'm a third, but I only just, you know, that's not on my credit report. So whatever your name is what your name is. Things like your Social Security number. One of the things about your Social Security number is some of the, I don't know exactly which one of them, but at least one of them will say, do you want your full Social Security number displayed on the credit report copy that you're going to get, or do you want just your last four? I'm going to always recommend to anybody, just get your last four. Just get your last four, because, again, this is something that's going to come into the mail. And if it comes in the mail and somebody intersects it, now they have your whole Social Security number.
Mm-hmm.
And the reality is when you request your credit report by mail, it takes up to 15 days. That's what they'll say on the recording. within 15 days, you'll receive your credit report. Well, if you don't receive it in 15 days and you contact them again, guess what it's still going to take? Up to another 15 days. How much damage can be done with somebody having your whole Social Security number? People, I say this not to try to scare anybody, but for us to be just precautious about what's going on, especially during this time of the year when it's supposed to be a time for happiness and joy. And we definitely don't want these negative things to happen to anybody. One of the things that I was checking with this Equifax report, it kind of shocked me because it's been a couple of months. It's been at least 6 months since I've checked my credit report during this year. And there's a thing that you can put on your Equifax credit report called a consumer statement. Every credit reporting agency doesn't allow you to do it, but Equifax does. So I had a consumer statement that I put on there because back in a couple of years ago, we had two properties, one that we used as a rental property and the other one as our permanent residence, right? So I didn't want – remember what I talked about balance to limit ratios earlier? I didn't want anybody to look at my credit report and say he has so much high debt and give me a higher interest rate if I apply for credit. So I wanted to make sure that I had something on there so these people knew, look, I'm just not heavy in debt. I got a rental property and I got people renting the property out. So that gives them an explanation so they can't just automatically say, well, okay, we're going to extend you credit, but we're going to give it to you at a 12% interest rate when I know good and doggone well that it shouldn't be no more than 6. So take advantage to put consumer statements on your credit report about whatever it is. If there's something like with identity theft, that's going to be one of those things that's going to be automatic. But you have the ability to put things on there so that when somebody looks at your credit report, that's less conversation that you actually have to have with somebody. So case in point, you work for the federal government. When somebody comes around and does part of your background investigation, they're going to get a copy of your credit report, whether you work for the federal government, whether you're working as a contractor, whether you're working as an actual government employee. So as that individual is looking at your credit report, to have that statement on there, it makes it where there's information that's already been put out there, and that's less information that individual has to ask to you or to try to figure out why does this person have a mortgage in California, but they've been living in Georgia for the last 12 years? Only makes sense. We have these things at our disposal, so we need to make sure that we're actually using them. Negative accounts. A lot of times what people do is they really are concerned about checking their negative credit accounts, right? I want to make sure that nothing is showing up that was late because I know I paid my bills on time, or if I was late, I know I was only late one time. I want to make sure that it doesn't show that I was late two times. Checking the negative accounts or for negative information is good, but I want to point us to something that often gets overlooked. Look at the positive accounts. Look at the positive accounts. The positive accounts are ones that's never been late. Remember I just mentioned to you a few minutes ago that individuals who engage in identity theft, their plan is to make sure that they keep these accounts current. So if we're only looking for the negative accounts, making sure that there's nothing negative on our credit report. See, this thing shouldn't be about a negative thing. So if I'm only looking for the negative information and I don't look at what is showing that's being paid on time or paid as agreed or open and has been closed, then I may miss out on something. So check the negative credit, the negative information, but also make sure that you're checking all of those accounts that are on there that are showing that they're being paid as agreed or paid as agreed and is now closed, because that can be one of those indicators that something is not right. The other thing that I will mention to us tonight is inquiries. There's two things to know about an inquiry. An inquiry is when somebody has looked at your credit report for whatever reason, whether it's for employment, whether it's for utilities. Yes, they check credit reports for utilities nowadays, like they something that they didn't do, quote unquote, back in the day. So these inquiries is somebody's checking your credit report for a specific purpose, a purpose of extending some type of credit or benefit to you as an individual. You have what's called soft inquiries, and you have also what's called hard inquiries. The hard inquiries are the ones that actually affect your credit score. So, for example, somebody decides that I'm going to go buy a car during this time of the year. They go out to apply for credit. The person comes back, the finance person comes back and say, Mr. Such and Such or Ms. Such and Such, we're good. We're going to be able to send you the credit, but your interest rate is going to be 18%. Well, you probably checked one of your credit scores but haven't checked all three, so you decide, no, I'm not going to do that. That's too much. I can't afford that type of payment with that much of interest. And then you go and go to another car dealership. Every time you do that, that's called a hard inquiry. And every time you do that, it is something that helps to drag your credit score down, down, down. Hence, that's why it's important to make sure you check your credit score, not just one, but all three of them in your credit reports before you go applying for credit. The other type of inquiries are the soft inquiries. Those are ones that don't affect you. On these three credit reporting agencies, these three credit reports that we all have, the language is it reads a little bit differently, but they're saying the same thing. So one of them may not use the word hard inquiries and soft inquiries, or one of the credit reporting agencies may say these are the inquiries that have been made by somebody. They're only viewed by you. So the ones that are only viewed by you, that's the equivalent of a soft inquiry. You can't stop individuals from checking your credit because they have access to it. Hence, remember I talked about opting out. The more that you opt out of these different things that come up, the less that people will have access to your information, because companies sell your information to others for the purposes of extending you credit. So you can't do anything about the soft inquiries. But the hard inquiries, you definitely want to keep a lookout on, not just for the sake of your credit score going down, but let's say somebody did a hard inquiry and it wasn't you. Now you have been alerted that somebody's trying to get some credit inside of your name. And it doesn't have to be somebody trying to steal your identity. It can also be somebody in your family. Hello?
Right.
Trust me, y'all, it does happen. There's relatives that will, it could be a spouse. It can be a spouse that has opened up a credit card or a credit account that you didn't know about and has opened it up because they may have a power of attorney. So now both of y'all are on the hook for that.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen individuals have accounts opened up in a marriage as the individuals were in a separation, pending divorce. Now both individuals are on the hook. That's a bad situation to be in. I know I've been involved in enough encounters to know that if somebody's going through a divorce or in a separation period, and one of the spouses decide to open up a credit account because they have the ability to, and it's not something that they've done illegally, when it comes time to settle that, who are they looking at? Both individuals.
Mm-hmm.
So hard inquiries and soft inquiries are definitely that's something that we always want everybody to be aware of. And then, at least on experience on the Equifax credit report, they have different types of accounts. So, for example, you have revolving credit accounts, such as your credit cards, right? Your MasterCard, your Visa, your charge cards at your department stores. Then you also have the installment accounts, your car loan, your home mortgage, things that you're paying a fixed amount every single month. The other thing that you want to be careful about on installment is student loans. You want to make sure, individuals want to make sure that if you have student loans, and this is big, if you're in a deferment period and you know you're in a deferment period, you want to make sure that that shows up on your credit report. The people that's going to report it is the lender, the one who you actually borrowed the money from for that student loan. But if you know that you're not supposed to be paying it back right now because you're in a deferment period or you're actually still in school, then you want to make sure that's reflected on your credit report. You have the ability to say, I need that added to my credit report, so that a lender that looks at this doesn't think that you just have all this debt that you're not paying. Because if your repayment is $300 a month but you're in a deferment period, you don't want somebody looking at you to say, well, this is a debt. You also have $300 of student loan debt that you have to pay every month, So now I'm not going to give you this particular loan at a 7% interest rate. I'm going to give it to you at a 9% because your balance to because your debt to income ratio is a whole lot higher because of the student loan. So make sure that you're checking your student loans if you have them. I know a lot of people don't, but I can tell you the national average, the last time I checked for student loans across the board was about $23,000 per individual who has a student loan. That's a lot of money. So you don't want that to be something that can actually hold you up as you're applying for credit or for a job or anything else. Anybody else have anything to say? I can keep going, but I want to just open it up for anybody else that just wanted to have any quick comments. All right, I keep on going.
Okay, go ahead.
Go ahead, Mom. Go ahead, please.
I was going to say, you are correct about when you apply for credit, anything, because it does show up. And at that time, I just looked at it, but it didn't mean anything to me. I said, yes, I did. And, you know, I really didn't have any understanding, you know, but I'm getting more of an understanding of it now.
Amen.
Yes.
So let me ask this question. So let's say you check your credit report and you find out there is something on your credit report, not necessarily something of identity theft, but it could be. But let's say there's something on there that you know shouldn't be on there. Let's say they have your name spelled wrong. Let's say they have you living at an address that you've never lived at before. Or let's say they had that address, your address is 123 Main Street, but they have it as 124. So it's not really saying that you lived at another address. It's just one of the numbers is transposed incorrectly. What happens when you have, you know, information that's on your credit report that you know shouldn't be on there? Or that you know is incorrect, even if it's something that could have been just a typographical error from somebody. What do?
You can submit a correction.
Say again?
They actually have a procedure that's enclosed if you get it mailed. Or you can do it online if you just view it and it lets you find something that's inaccurate. They, you know, walk you through the process to get it corrected.
That's correct. The easiest way, if you're on annualcreditreport.com or if you happen to decide that you want to go to each individual credit reporting agency, you can do what's called a dispute. If you do it online, you can do the dispute right there online. So, for example, one of the things that that I found out when I checked my credit reports the other day was they had an address for me that I didn't live at. They had the address of my seminary as one of my addresses. Well, I had to dispute that and say, I've never lived at this address. Within 30 minutes, I got an email back saying that they have taken care of it. That's good. Mm-hmm. That was something simple. But what if it was something a little more complicated? Like an account that I said was closed that I know was closed that they're showing is open, or account that I paid off that they're showing it still has a balance. My suggestion for everybody is when you dispute something on your credit report, make sure that you're disputing it with clarity. Make sure you're disputing it with facts. We want to make sure that people are not just responding and putting these things in writing out of emotions. It may be something that is not favorable. But make sure you're just doing it with clarity and make sure you're doing it with facts and just being concise about what information that you're trying to communicate to the credit reporting agency. Now, they have a time limit by law that they have to respond to you, so they have to respond by law within 30 days. Understand this. That doesn't mean that it's going to get fixed in 30 days. It may take longer, but they have to at least respond to you within 30 days. So that's important for everybody to know. Dispute it, make sure you keep a record of it, and they're also going to give you some type of confirmation number. I'm saying confirmation number, but whenever you dispute something, you're going to get a number regarding that dispute. And it's a reference number. The reason why that's important is because when you call the 1-800 numbers to obtain your credit report, that's not the same number you call to do the follow-up. So you'll get a separate number where you'll actually be able to talk to somebody. whenever you request your credit reports off the 1-800 numbers, you're never going to talk to a live person. Never. Everything is automatic. Automatic voice prompts. Press 1, press 1, press 2, type in your zip code, say your zip code. I can't understand you. Say it again. But when you get when you dispute it or have a problem with it, they're going to give you another number to contact. That's why I'm telling you all these numbers that I'm throwing out at you, you make sure that you write them down so that you can refer back to them. So for me, it was a successful venture. It took me, and I think I wrote it down, it took me less than 5 minutes to request all three of my credit reports by telephone, by calling that one number through annualcreditreport.com. So there's no excuse as for people to think that it's a lengthy process. Now, when I requested my credit report, when I went through the process online by going through my Equifax credit report, what we talked about took a whole lot longer than actually how long it took me to go through the credit report. I recommend not trying to do this on your cell phone, even though you can. Please do it at a regular computer. Do it on a laptop. Do it on an iPod. The cell phone thing, I mean, trust me, you got to open up fields. And I don't like doing it like that. That's my recommendation. But, you know, some people live and die by their cell phones. But you can't print it out from your cell phone, and you can't save it. So be at a hard, you know, be at a laptop and get some access. Huh?
Can I I'm saving it now. I just said I was going to do mine because I got one earlier this year, but, well, I didn't actually, you know, look at my own, but I was doing some things and then they did it for me. So I'm requesting mine now since it's the end of the year, and that way I can request it, you know, mid-year next year and compare it. But it's letting me save it. So in this... Am I getting applause?
Yeah, you're getting applause.
Because,
hey, one person,
you know, when you
time.
Said it, I was thinking, I was like, I don't think I did mine this year. But so I'd look, you know, and I'm doing it. So it does let you save it now.
Now, are you doing annual...
save it, but you save it in a PDF.
Now, are you doing it through annualcreditreport.com or directly through the extra? Okay.
Annualcreditreport.com, yeah.
Now, which one did it allow you to save? The TransUnion one?
TransUnion, yeah. I'm
See,
on
that's the one that I can never – that's the one that I never can get into is the TransUnion, so that's why I never can save it. But I know Experian doesn't allow you to save it, nor does Equifax. But one trick that you can use is you can just copy all the text. Well, you know, it's going to look kind of funky when you do it, because it's not going to do it the same way as it's actually on the page. But I did that just in case I lost my connection. I still was able to see what I needed to see. So that's a good thing. And here's the thing. A lot of times people think that I checked my credit report. I asked our niece the other day, you know, she got her credit scores, and I was like, you know, praise God, that's a good thing. But did you check all three? And that's the thing that we want to be careful about. We have to make sure that we're doing all three of our credit reports, not just one. If you don't have the time to do all three in one sitting, that's fine. Do one today, do one tomorrow, do one the next day. Don't do one month, one the next month, one a month after that, because if you have something on one credit report and you get it fixed, when you go to check the next one, it may be something else on there, and may something else may pop up. So you want to try to do it as close as possible so that you can kill all three at one time. If you need to put a statement on all three, put a statement on all three. Going back to the thing about statements, though, on Experian wouldn't allow you to actually do a personal statement like I was able to do with Equifax. Their type of personal statements were kind of like templated type statements. So, for example, it said it had a statement that said, why are you just, you know, disputing this? And it gave you, you know, you just check the box. That's all that it allows you to do. So only thing I could select from was, I am in a bankruptcy. I've been a victim of identity theft. So I couldn't just put a regular statement saying, hey, I need to explain why this is on my, you know, why this is late or whatever the case may be. So you can't, you don't have the access to do the same thing on each one of the credit reporting agencies. But,
okay.
Again, I just think it's so important. Make sure you check all three. And see, I'm not going to check my credit score until I get my TransUnion report, because if I have to check something on my TransUnion report, when I check something on the TransUnion one, if there's something that doesn't need to be on there, then I don't want to have to go back and do it a second time. So when I get that within the next, however long it's going to be, probably within the next 7 days, it'll probably come. I've never seen it take any more than 7 days for a credit report to come in the mail. But we're going to be equipped because we've taken the time to actually check all three of the credit reporting agencies, and then we've checked the scores, and now we have something we can tell somebody. See, sometimes it's hard to talk to folks and say, hey, this doesn't take a long time to do if you've never done it. Or this was a challenge that I had, so instead of pressing this button, press this button. When you go on into creditreport.com, if you sign out, then you'll have to come back in and sign back in. But if you're in the middle of your report and something happens, you've already requested it, so it may not let you back in. So, you know, you just have to pay attention. But I'd rather have somebody that's actually walked through this to be able to explain it to me, because some people are intimidated by the computer, and I understand that. Some people are intimidated by looking at a credit report on paper. I understand that. So for me, one of the things is let us be these individuals that God has given the ability to be able to look at these things and not to be judgmental with somebody. I don't know if I said it last week, but when the girls come home for on the holidays, and I know my wife is going to be looking crazy after I say this because I know she's listening, but if you can't sit down with Dad and we can't go through the same thing that I'm just talking to everybody else about, you don't deserve a present. You don't deserve one. Because why do I want you to get into a situation that I have the ability and the knowledge and the insight from God to be able to help others, but I can't help my own family? Something wrong with that picture. So we have to help our young people with their priorities. She just said she's looking at me crazy. I'm glad the show is almost over. I'm glad the show is almost over for tonight, so I can go ahead and take care of that. But think about it. You know, we give gifts to our children. We give gifts to our loved ones. But what we're talking about right now, this is a very big gift that people don't realize is going to have an everlasting effect. Don't you know how important of a gift this could be if you help somebody to find something on their credit report, or you find something on your credit report that shouldn't be there and you took care of it, or you have the ability to take care of it right now? Yeah, it's big. So I think I'm done for tonight. I'm just going to say, you know, do y'all have any further comments and any other wisdom that y'all want to impart, or any other questions that y'all want to bring out?
Well, what I was thinking about is that about three words that you said to me when you came, three words that you have, you know, repeatedly said, you know, not so much in this segment, but take the time. And today I was just a lot of things going on, and I was just, like, overwhelmed, and it was like, pray. And it's like, you know, I really don't have time because I just got to get this done, and then I will pray. But it was just like, take the time. And I took the time to pray. And I tell you, afterwards, I felt much better, and I flowed the rest of the day. So it's the same thing with our finances. When we do receive knowledge, take the time to apply this knowledge. You know, take the time to go there on the website and find out about our credit report, you know, because a lot of times I look at these shows and they talk of how people have just been devastated by the identity theft, you know. And as you were saying tonight, if the time was taken to do the credit report, because that could have been me. That could have been me because I didn't take the time. So the words is take the time. That's the word for tonight. Take the time.
That's right.
Amen.
And that's ironic because I was going to say something similar. I was going to say set a time every year.
Okay.
Where you're going to do it. That's the best approach, like your birthday or, you know, the anniversary of when you bought your house or you bought your car. whatever it may be, but if you pick a date every year to do your request your credit reports and review your, you know, charges on your cards for the year to make sure. And, you know, honestly, I'm bad about reviewing the stuff on my card. I'm not as good as I used to be because I did it every month. And now I do it about every quarter. But the thing is, you want to do it because you want to catch that stuff as early as possible, get it resolved as early as possible. But if you set a time, like Mom Mary said, to do it, every time, do it on a routine, then it's not as tedious as it may seem in the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
It becomes routine, so it's just like, you know, breathing, blinking.
Wow. And so I guess I'll finish off that trio. I was trying to find a cool way to say it, but, you know, I can't think of one. But what I'm thinking about is taking the time is good and setting a specific time. I'm thinking about accountability.
Mm.
Accountability. See, these are the questions that nobody asks you in your church. When last time you checked your credit report? I don't know no pastor that stands up in the pulpit and say, hey, we're going to get Brother Dunlap and the PRF team to come in here today, and we're going to, you know, go into the computer lab, or everybody bring your laptops and your iPads, you play on them in church anyway. Go ahead and bring them, and we're going to go check on the, you know, everybody going to check their credit reports. I don't hear stuff like that. I got it. I understand it doesn't happen. But sometimes we need somebody to help us be accountable with it. Because once we do that, once we take the time out to do it, once we set that specific time, what happens after that? If there's nobody there to walk with us through that, we can't expect everybody to get it. I want you to think about the first time you took a look at your credit report. I know the first time I looked at mine, I was like, ooh, wee, this is not good. I was young. I was like, ooh, this is not good. It was something that didn't make me feel good at 20 years old. We jacked up credit already. Didn't make me feel good. So do you think I'm going to really be coming out like, oh, I'm going to let you find, I want to let you know about what's going on in my credit report. So we had to develop some type of trust, and that's what we do at PRF. We have to develop those individuals that the individuals around us can trust to be able to say, hey, here's a credit report. Here's my credit report. Hey, it is what it is. And I tell anybody, look, I know what it feels like to have credit reports that didn't look good at all. Ain't always been like this, but I remember when it looked like it was. So we had to be willing to have – I'm big on accountability partners. So I think one of the things that I want to try to see about doing is, you know, setting the time. What about taking the time and setting the time in the church? In the church. Once a month. Let's set a time. How about let's set a time during Bible study night? Oh, man, that means pastor can't get up there and flap his or her gums? Yeah, it's all right. Got three more Wednesdays. It's cool. What about Sunday school? That means we can't use the book? Yeah, it's okay. We can catch up later. Half people don't come anyway. I mean, there's things that we can do. I know I'm tired, y'all. I'm tired, so I'm going to stop. But that's what I think we need to do. I mean, we got to do some different things. So I'm throwing it out there just to put a smile on everybody's face. We're just going to see what God wants to do. Next week is Christmas. I doubt that we have a show, and if y'all want to have a show, y'all let me know, and we'll make it happen. But if we don't, in case we don't, we'll wish everybody a Merry Christmas now. We hope that God blesses you in whatever you do during this holiday season. We hope that the things, the messages, and the insight and the wisdom that we've been communicating over these last 45 days almost have been things that have been designed to bless you and that you've received them. And just like we gave that applause to Shatara a few minutes ago, and she said, hey, I'm going here checking my report right now, it sometimes is just as simple as that. And we want to give more applause to people because it's not an easy thing. Sometimes it's just intimidating. So if you need help, I'm going to say just go to our website, Facebook page, possessions.resources.finances. Send me a message. You can also Email me at jr.dunlap8@gmail.com, jr.dunlap8@gmail.com, and we'll be more than happy to try to help you guide you through this process. So with that, on behalf of all of us here at the PRF Table, we just want to say Merry Christmas. We love you. Thank you for spending the time with us. It's been a wonderful ride, and we just hope that God just continues to do what only God can do by giving us what he's given us for us to give it to you throughout however long as he seems fit for us to continue doing this. So with that, we will see y'all later. Y'all have a wonderful, wonderful rest of your week. God bless you. We love you.
Thank you.
Good night.
Good night.